Open your Bibles up. Did you get my list of scriptures, Ty, or sound booth? This one's not on there. I did give Pastor a list. So let's begin. Two things. One, let's do this. Everybody do this. Just that finger, okay? Got to get your fingers warmed up because we got a lot of pages to turn. Okay, so got to have your fingers awake. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Father, that it's life to those who find it, medicine to all of their flesh. I thank you, Father, that you, your presence is in this place. The one thing we desire, the one thing we need most, Lord, is your presence. I thank you for thinking through my mind, speaking through my lips, effectively communicating those things that you have placed within my heart. For your people, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles up to 2 Peter chapter 1. I thought it was interesting when I came up here. I thought I was on a trampoline for the minute. I mean, the bass was just a rocking. I mean, it was a going, you know. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says, for this reason. Now, whenever it says something like that in the scripture, you need to find out, you know, like if it says therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Amen? So that you understand what's going on. So he said, for this reason. That's the issue. Is that better? I wondered what was going on here. It was me. And so he said, for this reason. He says, and so the reason is verse 11. So that an entrance will be supplied to you, say to me, and abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this reason, so that you can have an abundant entry into the kingdom of God. Not just get in by the skin of your teeth, not just barely make it, but that you would have an abundant entry into the kingdom. He said, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right. As long as I am in this tent, as long as I am in this body, as long as I am in the pulpit, he says, to stir you up by reminding you. How many could use a little bit of stirring this morning? Amen? It's kind of like the paint. You know, when you go get ready to paint, you got to stir it. All the ingredients are there. It just needs stirred up. If you were to bake a cake and you just dump the ingredients into the bowl, how many know that you still got to stir it up? If you don't, it's not going to turn out right. And so we need stirred up. Title of my message this morning is Faith, Faith, or Faith? Pastor's been preaching on faith, and I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to remind you, though you be established in these things. Look over at Mark chapter 5. By the way, those of you that don't know me, I'm Pastor Rick, Brother Rick. Don't call me late for dinner. I've been out here on a Wednesday night to preach. We pastored in Michigan for 30 years. We moved to Sumter. People ask me, they say, are you in the military? And I'd say, nope. They said, well, nobody moves to Sumter on purpose. What are you doing here? And I said, warm weather and grandchildren. And so, how many know next to Jesus, it don't get no better than grandbabies, and they run a real close second. I'm now enjoying my great-grandchild. I have one great-granddaughter now, and my oldest grandson is a professional Santa Claus. 6'4", 350 pounds, hair down to the middle of his back, beard down to his chest, and he's only 25, I think, and means his grandmother's getting old, but he's in the process of bleaching his hair. He's got gorgeous hair, bleaching it all white and his beard all white so that he doesn't have to put the makeup on. In it. I mean, and he's been to Santa school. Anybody ever heard of Santa school? There's a school for Santas. In fact, Michigan, where I'm from, has one of the largest in the world. People come from all over to go to this Santa school every year. And so he does all kinds of things. So I've just got wonderful grandchildren. His brother's a paramedic, and then I've got a granddaughter in Charleston.
That's why my wife's not here today. My daughter had foot surgery, and so she's in Charleston. So, you know, I preached in Sumter, drove to Florence, and then now I'm going to drive back to Sumter, and then I'm going to drive to Charleston. So it's a busy day today. Did you find Mark chapter 5? He says in verse 25, he says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she had spent all that she had and was none the better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But the disciples said to him, 'You're in a multitude thronging you.' He says, 'And you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." How many know you need to tell God the whole truth? Amen. Remember the story where they said, "We've done this in your name and we've done that in your name." And he said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I knew you not." See, Jesus can only do something about what you give him permission to do. If you don't unlock the depths of your heart, he won't violate you. He won't go where he's not wanted. Okay? But if you want to walk free, if you want to walk in victory, if you want to do more than just play church, you need to say, "Here I am, Lord. Search me. See if there be any wicked way." Amen? And wicked, when we think wicked, I can remember growing up. We grew up in a denominational church, a Methodist church of that style. I guess it was Church of the Brethren we attended when I was little. Never once did I ever hear that I had to be born again. Not once. And so when I heard the phrase "born again," that meant Billy Graham was in town and my favorite TV show was going to be preempted. That's what "born again" meant to me at that time. But how many know you must be born again? Thank God that I had Baptist neighbors. How many are grateful for the Baptists? Amen? You know, I'm grateful for the Pentecostals because we get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, they got him. They just don't use him. You know, we got the whole package, and we can't lose with the stuff we use as long as we use it. Amen? And so he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." How many know that God is not a respecter of persons? If he did it for her, he'll do it for you. If he did it for the one next to you, he'll do it for you. Okay? But if you want the harvest that I've received, then that means you've got to plant the seed that I sowed. Okay? You can't, if I planted watermelon seeds and you go home and you plant corn and you expect to get watermelons, how many know you're not going to get watermelons? Amen? You planted corn. So if you want my harvest, whether it be with the woman with the issue of blood or blind Bartimaeus or whatever, okay, if you want that same harvest, then you have to be willing to sow those same seeds. This woman was not allowed out in public. She was not allowed. It was unlawful for her to go out into public because of her issue. But you know what? She had gotten to the point where she had spent all that she had and she was none the better. And she said, "I don't care what you think or you think or you think. I just know what I want and I'm going to get it. It's mine and I'm getting it." Amen? And that needs to be where we're at in our walk with the Lord. It doesn't make any difference what everybody else is doing. What makes a difference is what you're doing. And if God doesn't make a difference in your life, what difference does it make? I mean, it always amazes me how mankind wants to identify or follow after people's failures. You know, you teach on healing, and right away somebody's there, well, you know, Aunt Tilly, she was believing God and she died, you know, or this one didn't get healed, or that one didn't get healed. They want to identify with those things, and you know, and it didn't work for them. And unless God tells me, I don't know why it didn't work for them, because I know that God is the healer. He always heals, amen? But because healing is not based on my ability to receive it, healing is based upon the work of the cross. Just like salvation, it's not God's will that any perish, but all should come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? How many know at least one person that isn't saved? Did it change the will of God for their lives? No. Amen? It's not his will. And so it's the same way with healing. Healing is not based on whether or not I receive it. The same way salvation isn't based upon me receiving it. Salvation is based upon the work of the cross, the stripes that Jesus bore on his back. Amen? And that he was dead, buried, and resurrected. Glory to God. And so unless God tells me why somebody didn't, I don't know. I can give you some educated guesses, but that's all they're going to be. But I would still rather follow after the successes. Just like Job. You know, everything that Job went through only took 9 months. Everything that he went through was only 9 months. It wasn't a lifetime. People read it like it was a lifetime. It was 9 months. And then he got double what he started with. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to identify with the double. Amen? But notice in verse 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out. Verse 34 says, daughter, your faith has made you well. So my question this morning, or one of the questions is, what did it? Amen? Because I mean, no, what did he say? He said, your faith has made you whole. But I mean, no, if you take Jesus out of the equation, all she's got left is her faith with nothing to take a withdrawal from, amen? So it takes both. Now, I thank God that he never leaves us or forsakes us. David said, if I go to the highest heights, you're there. If I go to the lowest pits, you're there. No matter where I go, he's there. His presence is always there. Now, God works in atmospheres. Thank God for the worship team and the atmosphere this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I mean, it could snow outside. One problem, the atmosphere isn't quite right. But it could happen. I mean, somehow a freak thing could come flying through the air and all of a sudden it's snowing. You know, I'd think I was in Michigan. I'd moved away from there. I don't care if I ever see snow again. You know, people down here, they say, oh, I wish it would snow. I said, move to Michigan. Well, we don't want that much. I don't want any. And so, you know, it takes both. And the power is always there, but faith is what releases it. Faith is what causes it to work. And we need to learn how to continually, everybody say continually. We need to learn how to continually operate in faith. See, part of our problem is when life is good, when all my bills are paid and I've got money in my pocket and my belly is full and gas in the car, life is good, you know, I'm not wanting for anything, then the tendency is, what do I need faith for? But I got news for you. If you don't use your faith on a regular basis, when you do need it, it's going to be rusted shut. Because you've got faith. Faith was, you know, every man has the measure of faith. If you're born again, if you're here this morning and you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've exercised faith for the greatest miracle on earth. So we need to learn how to continually operate in faith. You know, if her faith can make her whole, then your faith can make you whole. But why? Because we have a better covenant established on better promises. The life, the nature, the very essence of God dwells on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen? We're family. We're part of his family. This woman wasn't part of the family. We're family. How many know family has privileges? He says in verse 27, he says, when she had heard about Jesus. So obviously at this point in her life, she hadn't heard about Job's boils, Paul's thorns, or Timothy's stomach. She heard the good news that Jesus is alive and well and healing all that are sick and oppressed of the devil. He says, and immediately, he says in verse 28, he says, for she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And so the only question, you know, and thank God she heard the right thing. You know, it's a whole lot harder to unlearn and relearn. We need to learn it right the first time, amen? She heard the good news that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If anybody says to you that God doesn't heal anymore, look them square in the eyes and say, you're right, and he doesn't heal any less either. Amen? And if faith can make her whole, how many believe it'll make you whole today? Amen. So let's find out how this faith stuff works. Look over at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Pastor told me to make sure I preach at least an hour longer than him so that when he gets back, you'll appreciate him. And so, Brother Ty's already sweating. He says in verse 22, of course, he's the one controlling the mic. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The Greek literally says, have the faith of God. He says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. In order for faith to be functional, it has to be in two places. It has to be in your heart and in your mouth. Otherwise, it's not functional. Now, the thing that it is that we need to understand that the heart, when he talks about the heart in Scripture, he's not talking about your spirit. Your heart is made up of both spirit and soul. That's what makes the heart. How many know your spirit doesn't have any problems with the things of God? Your spirit is wall to wall, Holy Ghost. It don't get no better. It ain't going to get no better. I know that's not good English, but it ain't going to get no better when you get to heaven, okay? Your spirit, it's good. The problem is with your soul, what I want, what I think, and what I feel. And so, but faith, in order for faith to work, your soul and your spirit have to be in line with your mouth. I'll guarantee you, if you're going through some things, stop and look at the seeds that you sowed with your mouth over the last year. You know, and you're not going to keep all the weeds out. I remember the first garden I ever planted. We bought a house back in 1977, had one built. I planted a 40 by 70 garden. Now, to me, that was big because I grew up in the city, okay? I'm city folk. And so 40 feet by 70 foot garden, big garden, planted corn and strawberries and zucchini and a few different things. And I was all, you know, Farmer Jack here. I got it down, you know? I mean, it was pretty. We went on vacation for 2 weeks. I came back. I couldn't hardly find my garden, the weeds. Now, I didn't plant no weeds. I planted corn and zucchini and strawberries. I didn't plant no weeds, but I had them. So sometimes the weeds are going to, and we got to be there to take care of them. Make sure you get the weed by the root. Just don't take the top off, amen? And so Jesus goes on now and he begins to explain what he's talking about. In verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And most of the time, again, we've only got half of that equation. And that's when we pray. We pray, you know, but we've got it in our minds that believing is the hard part. And I just wish I could believe. And like I said, if you're born again, then you've already exercised your faith for the greatest miracle. So what's stopping you from going on? Amen? So you have the ability. And so you pray. And somebody says, did you get anything? Well, no, I don't believe so. Or you'll say, well, I believe that God's going to heal me eventually. It doesn't say believe and you didn't get anything and you shall have it. It doesn't say believe you're going to get something and you'll have it. And really, that's what saying is, I prayed, but I don't feel any better. Okay? I don't sound any better. I don't look any better. Well, you know, let me ask you about salvation. Do you always look saved? Uh-uh. That guy in the mirror in the morning, that lady in the mirror in the morning with bedhead and no makeup you don't necessarily look saved, but what's saved look like? Amen? And so, you know, but when I feel better, then I'll believe that I'm healed. If we want Jesus' results, then we got to follow Jesus' instructions, you think? Amen? Read the red and pray for the power. And so understand this type of prayer, Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. This is for those that it legally belongs to. It belongs to the children. It belongs to God's people. It's ours. This prayer, this isn't a prayer that the sinner prays. This is a prayer that you and I pray, that it belongs to us because of the cross on Jesus Christ. I mean, how many of you have brains? Anybody in here have any brains? Have you ever seen them? I know the anatomy books tell us that we have them. Every once in a blue moon, we might even use them. But how do you know for sure? You've never seen them. You know, it's like, how many believe George Washington was the first president of the United States of America? Amen? How many in this room are old enough to have been there while he was the president of the United States of America? You believe. You've exercised faith in the history books. I mean, if we exercise half of the faith that we use in history books with the Bible, do you know where we'd be right now? Oh, glory to God. We'd be walking on water. We'd be doing all them things. Amen? I mean, we'll take the word of the history book, but we don't believe the Bible. How many know there's something wrong with that picture? Say, believe, then receive. Say, believe, then receive. Look at John 20. John 20, this is the story of doubting Thomas. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You know the story. For some of you, he's related. He says in verse 29, he says, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Look over at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, another familiar story. This is the story of Abraham when God called him to be the father of many nations. I'm going to make you a father. The Bible says that Abraham didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb in his own body, but actually he did on a daily basis. He saw what wasn't working on a daily basis, okay? And yet he ignored it. It didn't matter. This is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said. His name Abraham means father of many nations. So every time somebody called him, they were calling him father. They were calling him Father. Abraham, father of many nations. Abraham, father of many nations. Abraham, father of many nations. So he was surrounded with faith. God surrounded him so that faith could develop on the inside of him. He had a confession in his mouth. What's your name? Abraham, father of many nations. What's your name? Abraham, father of many nations. His confession lined up with what God had said was going to happen. How many know our confession needs to line up with the word of God? See, I know that if I was to say, oh, that just tickles me to death, you know, that I'm not going to die from being tickled at that point. But if I can't control my mouth when it doesn't matter, how am I going to control it when it does matter? That's why we need to learn to walk in faith on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. Years ago, I had a big old giant belt buckle that said Jesus on it. And somebody said, Jesus even holds your pants up. And I said, I trust him for everything. But he says there in verse 21, and he says, and being fully convinced what he had promised, he, God, was able to perform. We need to become fully convinced. God is faithful. If you don't know anything else in this life, you need to know that God is faithful. Look over at John chapter 4. It's funny driving over here. In order to be here on time, you have to kind of push the limits, right? Don't ever speed. I just push the limits. And push the limits beyond what they're posted. And so it's kind of like preaching here. I got to push the limits. But try and get done. I haven't slowed down yet. John chapter 4, verse 46. He said, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine. Always reminds me of the story about the preacher's small town. One of those towns where the cops know everybody, okay? And the preacher's driving down the road and he's kind of swaying back and forth. And so the policeman sees him, pulls him over, and comes up and says, Pastor, he says, you've been drinking? He says, just water. And he says, let me see. And the guy takes his water bottle and smells it. He says, that's wine. The preacher goes, hallelujah, he did it again. And so Jesus, he came, he did the miracle. He says, and then he says, there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Understand, this man is a nobleman. He is used to saying, come, and people say, what time do you want me there? And so, but Jesus is going to ignore it. He says, then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, he says, you will by no means believe. And the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. Oh, glory to God. And in the case of Jairus, you know, he went there, okay? And the miracle happened. And so the guy goes, and when he gets home, he finds out, wow, the word works. The word works. He spoke the word, and my son was healed. The word works. Everybody say, the word works. See, we need to learn how to read the red and pray for power. And so many times, you know, the power is working. We just get tired of waiting, and we flip the switch off. Look over at Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 11. This is the story of the lepers. I'm not going to read it all. He told them. He says, go your way, show yourself to the priest. The one comes back and glorifies God. And we've got to learn how to come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy in a time of need. and then go our way believing. Amen? It's like blind Bartimaeus. You know, here Jesus is coming, and he's out there, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody's saying, "Shh." You know, the hushers. You know, the guys that took your money, the hushers. They're shushing him. My wife's great-grandfather was an usher in their church, and back then they had the metal plates. And he'd tell people, "Don't put nothing in there that makes noise. Don't put nothing in there that makes noise." He was so afraid of dropping the plate and the coins rolling all over. So he'd tell them, "Don't put nothing in there that makes noise." And so, you know, but we need to learn how to press in. Look at one last verse. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 1. "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must work the works.'" Understand, this verse is not saying that he was born blind so that Jesus could come along and heal him and become the big shot in the town. That's not what that verse says. He said, because they thought if you had some kind of defect that major, that obviously either you sinned or your mother and father sinned. And so that was the assumption. Now we know that sickness comes from the pit. It doesn't come from heaven. Amen? I mean, no, God can't give you what he doesn't have. And there is no sickness in heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and so he says here, it's the same way in Job. Remember in Job when God asked the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He didn't, "Hey, dude," talking to the devil. "Come on over and do some stuff to this man." It's not what it says. How many know when God asks a question, he already knows the answer? He's not looking for information. Never. Because he knows everything. He already knows. And so when he said to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job?" the answer was yes. Because the devil goes on to say, "Well, you got a hedge around." How would the devil know that he's got a hedge around him if he hadn't tried to get him? And so he says, "This man was, it wasn't either of the things that you ask me, but the fact that he is blind, then I must work the works of the Father, of him who sent me." He says, "While it is day," because the night is coming when no one can work. I mean, 1 John 3:8, we all ought to know this by heart, but it says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Amen? Healing is a work of God. Sickness is a work of the devil, the enemy. See, how many, when your kid is bad, send him over to the neighbors to get disciplined? Pin a note on his shoulder, "Please beat my kid. He disobeyed me today." No, you beat him yourself. Amen? God doesn't send Christians to the devil for the devil to teach him a lesson. God doesn't use sickness to teach you. When's the last time when you had a migraine headache or an upset stomach that you wanted to get out your Bible and read? No, you want to close your eyes and hold your head and go to sleep. He's the Father of spirits. He disciplines our spirit. And he disciplines our spirit with his word, because his word is spirit. Amen? And so Matthew 12:25 says that every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. and that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So if God's the one making you sick and healing you, that's a divided house. And how many know the house of God is going to stand forever? Amen? Jesus said, I'm going to build it. Glory to God. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. And I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for what? Bread. We don't have to beg. We just have to get in faith. We have to use the stuff that we have. Say, I have faith. Hope gives up. Faith grabs hold. She had so much confidence in his word that she, you know, the one woman in Matthew chapter 15 had so much confidence in his word that she didn't even bring her daughter to be healed. She just said, speak it, and it shall be done. And he said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. If you get an instant manifestation when we pray for you, grab a hold of it and hang on to it and don't let it go. Amen? And if you don't get an instant manifestation, don't get discouraged. You now have the privilege to exercise the gift that has been given unto you. The gift of faith. Stand to your feet, please. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, your word works. Your word works. If her faith made her whole, then my faith can make me whole. Thank you that your word is the incorruptible seed. It has been sown into good ground this morning, and it's going to work mightily in me.